News of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Wellness DC, hosted by Dr. Richard Giannotto. Dr. Giannotto is the founder and medical director of the Giannotto Clinic in Tysons Corner, Virginia. The Giannotto Clinic specializes in microsurgical hair restoration, skin care, and renewal, and quality of life for wellness medicine. Now, here's Dr. Giannotto.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wellness DC. I'm Richard Giannotto, your host, and we're here on this dreary Saturday morning. I hope the sun comes out, although Andrew tells me we're going to get snowflakes. That's disgusting. So I have a question for you all. How would you all like to live forever? This question was posed to 30,000 people by an award-winning author named Bill Gifford, who wrote a book called Spring Chicken, Stay Young Forever or Die Trying. Kind of amusing, but he brings up some important points. And this was a blurb I read from the Academy of American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. And I thought I'd bring it up to you. You know, the quest to find a cure for aging, because aging is not the most desirable thing in the world, and the quest to find a cure for aging has permeated our thoughts for as long as there have been a written record. And billions and billions and billions of dollars have been spent on things like anti-aging creams and spa treatments, anti-wrinkle things, just to allow you to stay younger. Well, you know what? There are five things you can do to increase your longevity. You know, you don't have to live forever, but you can live until you're 120 and active. So in these 30,000 responses that we got, 85% of the people wouldn't want to live past 120 years of age, and more than half agreed that 80 years of age was about how long they'd like to live. The number of people who would like to live forever, well, it was less than 5%. Now, this is funny because I've always told people, I'm 63, and I've always told people I have at least 60 years left. And I feel that by bringing five key things into your life, you can actually not only live longer, but you could live longer actively without chronic disease. And number one would be to follow Michael Pollan's advice. Michael Pollan is an award-winning journalist. Used to write for the New York Times. He's written several books on diet. And one of the books he wrote was called Food Rules. And in it, number one is eat real food, not too much, and mostly plants. And this brings us to the concept of caloric restriction. And we know, and I've said it before, and I've written it before in several articles, that by restricting one's calories, the body goes into survival mode. We don't metabolize the same way. We turn on a set of genes called sirtuin genes, and this allows us to live longer. And as a matter of fact, caloric restriction is probably the one concept proven in the laboratory, to increase longevity and in an active way. You combine this with the supplement resveratrol, which is a biophenol found in red wine and skins of grapes. And it's amazing how the synergy of the resveratrol and the caloric restriction work to increase one's lifespan. And this has been proven in experiments. Number two, there's a drug for type 2 diabetes called metformin. All right, and a lot of type 2 diabetics take it. To keep their, to decrease insulin resistance, keep their blood glucose levels down. But you know what? Metformin shows promise in terms of increasing longevity. And I attended a seminar about a year and a half ago, prominent scientists from Harvard University presented all of the data on metformin. And his conclusion is, why not take metformin? Why aren't people taking metformin? Because it has been shown to extend the health span, that is how long someone remains healthy, and the lifespan of male mice. And when these experiments were extrapolated into humans, we find the same results. It's a good drug, not only for diabetes, but for increasing one's health span and lifespan. Don't do this on your own. Please do this in the company of a physician who knows the effects of metformin. All right. Taking metformin provides some of the benefits of caloric restriction, such as improved physical performance, better cholesterol levels. And in your cells, the metformin increases antioxidant protection and reduces chronic inflammation, one of the mechanisms by which aging ravishes our bodies. Number three is slightly controversial. However, it has been shown, there are more and more studies coming out showing that this may be a viable option, and that's exchange your old blood for young blood. Okay, so I guess the vampires were on to something. The youthfulness or the fountain of youthfulness may be found in our circulatory system. And it's very, very interesting. Research at Stanford University shows that infusing older mice with the blood of younger animals found that the older mice were indeed rejuvenated. Their brains became more plastic and malleable. That's a hallmark of youth. So basically, you can watch an older mouse show improvement on a maze test after being infused with young blood. So this is something that's promising in the future. Number four, it's so funny. Did you know that there was an absolutely free treatment for hundreds of studies that hundreds of studies have shown to be effective in combating many different age-related diseases? You know what this treatment is? The miracle drug? It's exercise. And if you're between 50 and 70, you should be exercising. All right? Because at 50, we start to lose lean muscle mass. And in losing lean muscle mass, we lose the support system for our body. And so you need to exercise. Exercise will decrease dementia, will decrease depression, will decrease type 2 diabetes. Exercise is phenomenal. It makes you feel great. And so basically, exercise turns on the good genes, turns off the bad genes. And finally, number five, be small. And that's not a joke. While height might give you many advantages during your working years, it may also contribute to your early demise. The taller you are, the more likely you are to develop cancer, among other problems. Why height is a risk factor for cancer remains unclear, but it might have to do with the fact that the taller you are, the more cells you have, and the higher your likelihood of developing a cancer-related mutation in them. So there you go. Five things to help you live forever, or at least until the age of 120, if you so desire, and actively. You know, people that I talk to in my practice tell me that what they fear about getting old is that they become debilitated and they become ravaged with chronic disease and they're of no use to society anymore. This is not the type of aging that I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. What I am expressing is the idea that you're 120 years old and you're as active as you were when you were 30, 40, even 50 years old. It's phenomenal. If you take care of your bodies, you follow those 5 points, you drink moderately, you eat the right foods, nutrition is key here, and you restrict some of your calories, my God, you can just do wonders with your body. And just one final note on caloric restriction. You know, in order to achieve longevity with caloric restriction, it's been proven that we have to restrict our calories by about 40%. Well, theoretically, this is not feasible for us because if you ate 40% less than you're eating now, at least those of us who are eating correctly, you would be depressed all the time. Your body temperature would fluctuate. Physiology and metabolism would be a wreck. We just can't do that. The cells need the energy that we take in. So one of the ways of achieving a caloric restriction, believe it or not, a caloric restriction of 40%, think of it this way. You exercise 5 days a week for about 45 minutes to an hour. All right, that burns some calories. 3 to 4 days a week, after 6 p.m., you eat nothing, drink nothing except water, and eat nothing until 6 a.m. the following morning, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That's a 12-hour fast. Combined with exercise and 250 milligrams of resveratrol a day, you will achieve, according to your sirtuin genes, the same thing that 40% reduction in calories will achieve. It's a modified caloric restriction, which gives you the same results. If you want further information on that, you can contact me at the clinic. You can contact me on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you desire. I'm on all the social medias. All right? So, because nutrition is so important, and I've talked about nutrition ad nauseum, I would like to enter into the implications of our Western diet. And they're clear and precise because the introduction of processed foods and refined grains and sugars has ushered in chronic disease states, has accelerated the aging process, and has decreased our lifespan. And remember what I always say, children born in the year 2000 and greater are going to have a shorter lifespan than that of their parents. It all has to do with nutrition, ladies and gentlemen. So years and years and years and years and years ago, all right, we talk about hominid species. These are modern humans and extinct human species, all right? And there was no universal diet then, but rather diet varied by where you were, the season of the year, and the availability of edible foods. And so ethnographic data, isotopic studies, bone marrow extractions, along with other studies, really indicate that at that time, when modern humans were evolving, at that time the diet was omnivorous. It wasn't vegetarian. It wasn't solely meat, but it consisted of minimally processed wild plants and animals. Okay? This diet was primarily frugivorous. That means fruit eating at the time, with 3 to 5% animal foods, but this increased to 65 grams of animal protein daily in adults in the dry season. So they ate fruits when fruits were available, but in the dry season when fruits weren't available, they went to animal protein. But again, omnivorous, vegetables, fruits, and animals, and meat, you know, fish. Additional studies show that gathered plant foods accounted for about 26 to 35% of sustenance, and that fished and hunted animal foods accounted for 56 to 65%. What is definitely known about this minimally processed omnivorous diet is that the foods that could not have been eaten are the foods that could not have been eaten. We know that you couldn't have eaten processed foods at the time. Highly processed refined foods had not been present in those eras, nor did these societies have the means to make highly processed foods. These societies were hunter-gatherers, ladies and gentlemen. Now you fast forward 10,000 years ago, and processed and refined foods begin to make their way into the Western diet. These foods now comprise greater than 70% of the energy in typical Western diets, but were virtually unknown in ancestral human diets. So, 10,000 years ago, processed foods make it to the forefront. Let's see what's happened since then. We're going to stop for a commercial break, and I'll be back. Hi, this is Dr. Giannotto, and for 25 years, I've been helping men and women like you with hair loss prevention and restoration. You know, a full head of hair makes you look better and feel better, all while improving your self-confidence. And now I'm proud to announce that the Giannotto Clinic is the only clinic in Virginia that offers all three major hair restoration procedures under one roof. We have Artis and Neograft, the two automated robotic follicular unit extraction procedures, and we have the tried and true follicular unit transplantation strip method. Now you can find a perfect fit with the procedure that works best for you, and in one half day begin your journey to natural, permanent hair. We make all three procedures affordable, and our consultants can match your lifestyle and desired recovery time to a specific procedure. Your results will be precise, permanent, and aesthetic. Call now, 703-556-4247. And when you call, make sure you ask me about SmartGraft, a new procedure involving more precision in less time than any other FUE method. Call me now, 703-556-4247.
For the past 20 years, Dr. Giannotto and the expert staff at the Giannotto Clinic have been Washington's leader in hair loss prevention, restoration, and age management. And now the Giannotto Clinic is proud to introduce genetic testing in its age management program. This proactive program is based on each individual's genetic makeup. As you age, you can look better, feel better, and live longer. Based on scientific knowledge, medicine, nutrition, and a healthy lifestyle, the Giannotto Clinic can combine preventative aging, hair restoration, and facial rejuvenation to help you turn back the clock. So whether it's low libido or you're just not feeling like your old self and want an energy boost in your life, both men and women are encouraged to call the Giannotto Clinic for a free consultation. 703-556-4247. That's 703-556-4247. While you cannot go back and make a new start, you can start today to make a new ending. Call 703-556-4247. That's 703-556-4247.
Okay, we're back. And, you know, we were talking about how our ancestral diet was omnivorous, and it consisted of wild plants and animal foods. 65% animal, 35% wild plants and fruits. And it was seasonal. And about 10,000 years ago, the introduction of processed foods in our diet really displaced some of these natural foods. And about 10,000 years ago is when we see the emergence of complications of eating processed foods, such as the chronic diseases of aging. So what are these processed foods that we're talking about? And first of all, what do I mean by processed? Well, the food industry, in order to preserve food, will add chemicals. They will also add sugar and fat to increase the taste and addiction value of the food. And in the mass production processes, they will take out or remove important nutrients of this food. So the food is not nutrient dense, but it's calorically dense because of the added sugar and fat. It has an increased shelf life, and it's addicting, and it'll have you coming back for more and more and more. The problem is, in the short term, no problem. But in the long term, the body can't handle these differences. And type 2 diabetes, hypertension, stroke, cancer, all of those diseases develop because of our nutrition. So the processed and refined foods that we speak of are breads, cereals, rice and pasta, dairy products, the added salt to food, refined vegetable oils, refined sugars, meats and alcohol that are processed. And many of these account for the majority of food allergies seen in today's population. And what do food allergies do? Food allergies disrupt the metabolic system of the gut. And they can lead to autoimmune disease, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, a whole host of other problems. The inclusion of these highly refined and processed food actually displace minimally processed wild plants and animal foods. So because they're so convenient, people eat more of the processed foods and less of the natural organic foods, and they get disease. Think about it this way. Sheep, goats, and cows were domesticated about 10,000 years ago. Now, at the same time, wheat and barley were domesticated. Dairy came into use about 9,000 years ago, and alcohol made its appearance about 7,000 years ago. The first salt mines were opened 6,000 years ago, and sucrose came on the scene about 2,000 years ago. But it gets better. Feedlot-produced meats were introduced in 1858, refined grains in 1900, refined vegetable oils in 1918, then came hydrogenated oils and high-fructose corn syrup. And what followed was type 2 diabetes, hypertension, stroke, chronic disease, including cancer, emphysema, and dementia. Whole history of nutrition, which precurses the whole history of chronic disease. It fits like a glove, ladies and gentlemen, and there's no denying it. Studies have proved it. So as these Neolithic and industrial era foods displace the minimally processed and wild plant and animal foods, they adversely affect the following nutritional factors. They affect the glycemic load of the food. Processed foods have higher glycemic loads than non- or minimally processed foods. They affect the acid-base balance of the food. You become more acidic, and when you eat a more acidic diet, this wreaks havoc with your metabolism. They affect the macronutrient balance because a lot of the vitamins and the minerals in these foods are taken out in the processing of the foods. And making them processed foods. So what happens is the nutrient density decreases, but the caloric density increases, as I've mentioned. All right. Fiber content decreases, and the sodium-potassium balance is reversed. We're eating much more sodium than we need, and this is causing more and more hypertension and heart disease. So what I'm trying to prove here, or what I'm trying to show you, is that the introduction of all of these processing things done to food, the introduction of nutritional, of big food companies mass producing food, on the one hand, yeah, you can feed more people, but unfortunately, you're doing a bad thing because you're causing chronic disease. All right, let's look at cereal. It's a food that could not have been eaten by our ancestors, yet the contribution of cereals to the total energy in the U.S. diet today is 24%. 24% of the calories we eat are cereals. And 85% of all grains consumed are refined grains. That means they're very high glycemic. Almost all refined grains have a high glycemic index. Rice Chex, Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, Rice Cakes, pretzels have glycemic indices above 75. Now, the glycemic index goes from 0 to 100. 75 is in a danger zone. You're producing lots and lots of sugar. You're taxing your pancreas. You're on your way to insulin resistance and high blood sugar. High glycemic load carbohydrates like these promote the diseases of insulin resistance, the metabolic syndrome, hypertension, heart disease, obesity, and sometimes gout. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Think of what you're doing to yourself. Refined and processed foods promote the chronic diseases of aging. I mean, it's just terrible what we're doing to ourselves. So cereal grains also affect the acid-base balance in the body. And when fruits and vegetables become displaced by cereal grains, as has been the case, the diet shifts to a net acid yielding, which is called metabolic acidosis. What this means to you: osteoporosis, high blood pressure, kidney stones, and stroke. Okay, I paused there on purpose. Osteoporosis, high blood pressure, kidney stones, and strokes. Refined grains and cereals also reduce the nutrient density and fiber content of the Western diet, causing metabolic problems due to mineral depletion, as well as constipation, hemorrhoids, varicose veins, diverticulitis, and gastroesophageal reflux, which we've talked about on the show. So the next time you have any of these problems and you have to go to your doctor and spend healthcare dollars on these problems and you're given loads of medication but you don't change your diet, you know what? Your problems aren't going to go away. Problem is with your nutrition, ladies and gentlemen. Problem with most diseases that people go to the doctor's offices for is with their nutrition. Let's look at dairy. Highly, highly allergic food to some people. It's another category of food that could not have been eaten by our ancestors. Dairy pops up about 9,000 years ago and presently represents 10.6% of the calories in the U.S. diet. Now, skim milk, fermented milk, and yogurts all have low glycemic indices, but paradoxically, they have insulin indices similar to white bread and sugar. So even though they're low on the glycemic index scale, they act like high glycemic foods. If you look at chronically milk-fed calves, baby cows, they experience insulin resistance, high blood sugar, and high urine in the sugar as the body tries to excrete all of this sugar. In a recent study, they took 24 8-year-old boys, and these boys consumed 53 grams of proteins as milk or meat for 7 days. The results indicated that a short-term high intake of milk, but not meat, increased insulin secretion and resistance. So you see, the dairy is acting as a high glycemic food. So let's look at another. Prior to agriculture, all animal foods consumed by human were wild animals. The entire edible carcass was consumed. In Western country, rarely are meats other than grain-produced muscle meats consumed. You know, when you go into the grocery store and they brag about these meats are grain-fed, that's very, very bad. You're feeding something, a high glycemic food, and then you're ingesting it. You want to go for the grass-fed organics. You don't want to help the grain-fed. I was recently in Jordan at a banquet for the king and queen of Jordan, and they were bragging about how, you know, all of the beef that they were serving that night was grain-fed. And it's something that I really wouldn't brag about, ladies and gentlemen. Really wouldn't. So body fat in wild animals waxes and wanes seasonally. But with the advent of animal husbandry 10,000 years ago, it became possible to prevent the seasonal decline in body fat, and it became feasible to slaughter the animal at peak body fat percentage. As this development became more and more common, the fatty acid balance was disrupted with ingestion of more inflammatory fats and less good fats through eating more omega-6s and less omega-3s. The macronutrient balance was disrupted, and humans began to eat less protein and more fat. When you consume wild meat, you eat more protein and less fat. These are all contributing factors to the development of chronic disease. We could go on and on and on, but here are the implications. You keep eating the way you're eating, you're all going to die young. You're all going to be prone to the chronic diseases of aging. You need to change your diets. I don't know how much more data I need to give you in order for you to affect this, but the data is out there. The studies are out there. We are killing ourselves. We are literally killing ourselves with our diets. So please start decreasing the processed food intake that you have or that you normally eat by 10% a week until after 8 to 10 weeks. You're not eating any, or you're eating minimal, and see how good you really feel. And be an example to your children and to your family, and see how good they feel. All right, we'll see you next week, and I'm going to talk next week about something called the Mediterranean diet, which is not one diet, but a series of diets heralded in countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea. And we'll see how good this way of eating can be if you don't want to eat strictly Paleolithic, like we just described. Anyway, have a safe week, eat responsibly, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Wellness DC with Dr. Richard Giannotto of the Giannotto Clinic in Tysons Corner, Virginia. Thank you, and have a pleasant weekend.
For too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle, made possible by volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible for thousands of families. Who will you march for?
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6 I make his breakfast. At 7 I shower. Every day I wake up
for those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTLPFMHD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Federal News Radio's DoD Wednesday. At 3, DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. At 4, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a smart discussion on the issues and challenges of the defense community, plus daily DoD updates, mornings and afternoons, Monday through Friday. DoD Wednesday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.